best mates talking the sport they love. Hamish and Dean, join RSN Central.
Let's welcome in the team on this Friday. It's a very good morning to you, Dean Lester.
Hello there, Gareth.
Geez, it's been a busy 24 hours for yourself. Three meetings to do at Swan Hills, Sandown, Breakfast Club, Form Panel, Dean and Hamish.
Yeah, this is the highlight, obviously, yes. Gareth, but don't tell the breakfast show that. But no. Looking forward to a really good show.
I nearly choked on my cornflakes this morning when you gave them a Friday fill-up.
I know, it was a bit cheeky.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
I've already given it to Felgate. I haven't got a lot left for you.
Hamish McLaughlin, it's a very good morning to you.
And to you, Gareth, and you, Dino. Lift, Dino, give us something. This is my favourite 45 minutes of the week outside of the 3 minutes that I'm most nervous with the Oz Kicker. So great to hear you. Good to see you and welcome to all the listeners.
The Oz Kicker, as Dino pointed out on a few times during this segment, it's his favourite piece of television for the week. So how do you get selected to become one of those
young people? I'm glad you asked, Gareth.
NAB.com.au/OzKick.
Okay. You can enter your video, send it in. There'll be a team at NAB, and I think Joel Selwood, that goes through the entries. They pick one that suits the state. And then they're the 22 that get selected to go to grand final day, put the medallions around the 22 winners next. Oh, I assume 23 this year.
Yep.
Is it
one take?
They've got the extra Oz Kicker. Well, it's live, baby, live.
Okay.
Well, it has been for 200 and something. COVID's actually, that's not quite true. I do it as live before the show because now with COVID, et cetera, we're doing a few Zooms. But also when we used to do it live for about 8 or 9 years, it meant we had to drag them off the game, which they love so much. So now we're saying, let's do it beforehand, then go and play the game and not worry about it. So it's just one take. They don't say anything for 3 minutes, which is what's happened before. That's what we stick with.
No, love it each and every week. Now, Hall of Fame to kick off proceedings, Hamish.
Two. Can I put two in?
100%. You put in four before, so two's no problems.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to know if I had to put in four or more going forward. Well, I'm going to put in a man that has given more than half his life to the Collingwood Football Club. He is a player, was extraordinary. He took the club to a couple of grand finals. He won a Norm Smith. He won the Brownlow Medal. No one's more won more best and fairest than Bucks at Collingwood. And then as a coach, he gave 9.5 seasons to the club. He got them within a kick of winning a grand final. He always gave everyone around him an amazing amount of time. And when I heard, I think I read it first, at afl.com.au that he was handing his keys in. I was left a bit numb, to be honest, and I was disappointed. He's been an extraordinary bloke for a long time for that club. He's known nothing but black and white for so long now. There's a little grey in his life, but who knows what's next for Bucks. But whatever it is, Dino, I hope he enjoys it. He has deserved a break.
He has, Haim, absolutely, but I can recall back to before he was the succession plan. He was so effective in the media, and I do hope he gets to join you at some stage.
I think he's as good an analyst as I've ever heard, and that's not surprising given the way he played and the way we've seen him coach. But he would see things a bit like Lee Matthews, well ahead of time, and then be able to articulately analyse it and break it down very simply. But it's amazing when you think, Dino, that he has given more than half of his life to making the Collingwood Football Club the very best football club it can be.
Yeah, and when he got there in 1993, it probably wasn't in that state, and probably through his leadership, through Eddie, through Mick Malthouse, and that drive from 2000 to ultimately the success in 2010 between those fellas, whether, Bucks was in the background that day, but they made it the powerhouse that it should be, because it's an iconic club.
Surely you know, Hamish, Lewis Martin would have had a chat to you that Nathan Buckley has signed for Channel 7 for next season.
He hasn't, but I hope that he has. Okay. I get on well with Bucks, and he's a wonderful bloke to be around, and he would do great things. I'm not sure what he wants to do. I'm not sure whether he wants to have some time out of the game and just spend some time with Ace and Jed and, smell the roses for a bit. He's been, driven hard and ridden hard for a long time by himself, more than anyone else. He's, when he was a kid, he used to run around the block, and his old man said, tomorrow it's got to be quicker. And that's how he's lived his life. He's got to be better and better and better. for the first time since I reckon he was about 10, he's going to have a chance to have a breather.
Yep. Now, we wish him well, and he won't be lost to footy. There's no doubt about that. And I hope he coaches again at a different club.
Don't worry, he'll be sought out. There's nothing more sure than that.
And he deserves to win a premiership, Bucks. I know that you don't get defined. Oh, I don't think you do anyway, but I think he's one man in football that deserves to win a flag. Now, Hamish, the second inductee.
This man, for me, proves that not all superheroes need to wear a cape. He's an inspiration. He's a leader. He's a legacy maker, a pioneer. He's a man that sort of showed us how we can all live in the face of adversity. And he sort of led us all through the darkest of times and through his darkest times, but always managed to keep it light, which is extraordinary given what he's facing. He's been pragmatic all the way through. And what he's been doing isn't for the betterment of him, but those that are going to follow, for all of us and our friends and our kids and for our kids' friends, really. And, you know, I speak of Neil Danaher, the guy that sort of taught us all so much. And I love, you know, what he said along the way. And I know we're going to play a clip from 2019 when he was addressing Melbourne. But the one thing, Dino, that resonates with me so much, he always talks about doing more than saying. He said, when it's all said and done, more is said than done. But that hasn't been the case with Neil. Neil has always been a doer of great and meaningful things. And I'll get your thoughts, Dino, but we'll hear Neil addressing the D's in 2019.
Your attitude in any circumstance determines your way. That's something not only to wish for, but aspire to. Thank you.
He's an extraordinary man. We know that, Dino, but 2 years and a bit, I think, is the expected life from those that have been diagnosed.
27 months, yeah.
Yeah. So he's now approaching Big Freeze 7. You can hear that was in 2019. He's lost the ability to speak with any sort of clarity, and 2 years on, it's harder again. But I watched him on 360 during the week. I then rewound it, got the family in to watch it. We all just sat there being inspired and crying together.
Yes, yeah, he was. I didn't think he'd be able to do the media rounds this week, having seen him last year. But 360, and then front bar on Wednesday night. He was funny, and he's still, you know, just a remarkable man, and gets people behind him. And how many people in the crowd last night at Adelaide Oval with the yeah. And you know it was the Big 3-7 one because it had the play on at the front.
So. Correct.
His legacy will live on forever, and he should be the Australian of the Year. And hopefully next time we celebrate that day on the 26th of January. 0416 90 50 52 to join our conversation. You're with Gareth Hall, Dean Lester, Hamish McLaughlin on this Friday morning. Our topic of conversation is good words from good people. And Hamish and I were thinking about a topic this week, and we were inspired by the man that joins us every Friday, because he opened up to us with my new segment here on RSN Central on a Wednesday morning. And the response to Dean Lester's Your Life segment has been unbelievable. And this was one of my favourite pieces from the interview.
Don't be afraid to be vulnerable. Never give up. And the other thing is, don't be afraid to admit that you're wrong. There's nothing wrong with saying that you got something wrong. And passing the blame on to others doesn't do you any good, because you don't learn from it.
Well, Dino, the response from that interview with the text messages, emails coming through to RSN 927 has been, well, it's blown me away, really. And I think everybody heard it. And Hamish did a wonderful article with you just over a year ago on the Herald Sun. But I think people could hear what you've been going through, and you inspired a lot of people with that story that you told us, Dino.
No, it was very kind of you to invite me onto your show, Gareth. And look, you're right. It's been overwhelming, the response. Very humbled by it, and I'm glad that people got something from it.
He's a remarkable man, Hamish.
None better, Gareth. Lucky to have Dino in our lives. Listeners don't realise what they've got. And I think that, Dino, once you do accept your vulnerabilities and realise that you don't have to have all the answers, gee, life gets a little bit lighter.
It does. It does, because it is a heavy burden if you go down that path that you think you've got to be right all the time. Once you can, accept that, you can free up a bit.
It's just, I think the toughest part of life is actually doing it. Like, you can think about it, but having the courage to be vulnerable.
Yep, exactly right, Gareth.
Now, let's move on with our clips. I'll start it off here. And my brother actually texted me last Friday, and he loves listening to the segment. Cameron, he says, I've got a topic for you, like inspirational speeches, as we started off this segment, good words from good people. And here's the great Teddy Whitten trying to lift his side all those years ago at the Whitten Oval these days.
Providing we control the rucks in the air like we were doing, we've got a real chance. In that quarter, you let their rucks get on top of us a little bit, particularly from the centre bounce and around the ground, which we can't afford to do. You had them in your hand and you've let them out. Now we've got to get them back in there and close it up. They played attacking football. We went negative in that quarter. And you can't afford to. They want attacking purposeful football all the time. And providing you had it kicked up in that quarter, we had a real chance of winning it in that quarter. Now we've got our backs against the wall and we've got to fight, and we're going to fight hard. It's going to be a do-or-die effort. It's going to be a determined bit. You've got to show me all the guts and all the determination you've got in your body. You've got to inspire me with this last quarter bid. You've been in front all day and you've got to stay there. Are you going to sit there?
Come on,
what a big effort there. Come on, son.
I tell you what, you just want to go out there and play. He was a great man, Teddy. Great Victorian, Dino.
He certainly was. All that from a man in a dressing gown at the time. That's fantastic. It was great. It's great footage, but it's great audio. And on the topic of Teddy, I don't know which is his greatest moment, like something like that when he was a dynamic footballer at his most powerful, or what we were just talking about with vulnerability, doing a lap of honour before the State of Origin game. To me, that's his greatest moment. And you know, incredible contrast in those two moments, Payne.
One is a strong man that's leading a group of fit men. And I was just looking at that vision. There's guys looking like they're off a set of Peaky Blinders in the background with the long trench coats. And they're sitting there in this grainy black and white footage. And we get taken back. And he, as you say, is in a dressing gown. And then in 95, with that lap of honour with his son, holding his head and holding his hand, and Danny Frawley crying in the background. And his son would say to him, "We're just in front of the media boxes. Look up to your left." And he'd wave and look up to his left. Now we're in front of, you know, the members. And he would look up. And both of those are iconic Ted moments. One, a fit, powerful man. One, knowing that he didn't have too much left. And, yeah, what a monumental human.
Whether you were watching that on TV or you were lucky enough to be at the MCG that day, that was so powerful in a way. Someone going around in a car at the MCG, but it was such a powerful moment in everybody's lives.
I think I'm right in saying he'd said, "I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it." And then woke up on the morning and said to his son, "We are doing this." And I think I'm right in saying he may even have got a haircut that morning, Dina.
Yep, all correct. Yep, absolutely. It was he wasn't going to be able to get there, but didn't. Yeah, only one thing stronger than that sort of vision was Teddy's handshake. It was an absolute handbreaker.
One of my favourite moments, and I try and quote this from time to time as well, is the interstate rivalry, whether it's the Victorians taking on Western Australia or South Australia, and Teddy Whitten telling Neil Kearney that day, and I think it was the middle of Footy Park, "We stuck it up them." That's what we did. We stuck it up them. All right, Dino, one of your favourites we're about to have a chat about, and this was a goal for that, arguably one of the greatest of all time. And he was describing, I think, what it's like, or how do you be a champion? We might roll the tape.
Yeah, let's roll the tape. Let's go into it.
You might have about 14 holes there that you really are not too worried about, or 13 holes. You might have about 5 holes where there's real danger. So you've got to understand. Okay, is my strength is left to right. When I've got a right to left shot and it's dangerous, do I want to try to do that, or do I want to make sure that I put the ball in a position where I'm not going to hurt myself and take advantage of the places where I can take advantage? I mean, you've got to be able to figure out who you are and what you can do. And if you can figure out what you can do, then you can attack and probably maximize what your efforts are. If you're trying to do the same thing that everybody else is doing, you're never going to maximize anything. If you're listening to everybody else, you're not going to. You've got to take care of who you are. That's my best advice.
That's just good advice for life. Forget about golf. That's what it's all about, really, maximizing your strengths and minimizing your weaknesses.
And I reckon, Dino, just that line at the end, know yourself. I mean, Everyone's going to be making assessments from the outside, but only you know you. You know yourself better than anyone else. And take on advice from those that you think might be able to help you. But in the end, it's up to you. And back yourself in.
No, he's a great man, Jack. Sorry, Dino.
Jack was... Yeah, no, I was just going to say he's a great man and continues to be so... in the twilight, he's a great ambassador for golf.
We've probably got our Lees at the top of the tree, but this man wouldn't be far off him, Hamish.
In terms of mentions on the show?
Yeah, popular figures on Dean and Hamish on a Friday morning.
Well, Dino and I were lucky enough to have a few minutes with him a few years ago, and we're about to play what he titled Dear Basketball. And the film that he produced ended up winning Best Animated Short Film at the Academy Awards in 2018, the Annie Award for Best Animated Short Subject, and the Sports Emmy Award for Outstanding Post-Produced Graphic Design. So when Kobe Bryant turns his attention to something, he doesn't do things by half. I asked him when we were doing the interview, when did you write it? And he said, well, it was based on my retirement letter, which I simply called Dear Basketball. And I wrote it on my iPhone when I was traveling to the court. And we turned that essentially into what we're about to hear. So these are good words from a good man. It's called Dear Basketball, and it's written and narrated by Kobe.
Dear Basketball. From the moment I started rolling my dad's tube socks and shooting imaginary game-winning shots in the Great Western Forum, I knew one thing was real. I fell in love with you. A love so deep, I gave you my all. From my mind and body to my spirit and soul. As a 6-year-old boy, deeply in love with you. I never saw the end of the tunnel. I only saw myself running out of one. So I ran up and down every court after every loose ball for you. You asked for my hustle. I gave you my heart. Because it came with so much more. I played through the sweat and the hurt. Not because challenge called me. But because you called me. I did everything for you. Because that's what you do when someone makes you feel as alive as you've made me feel. You gave a 6-year-old boy his Laker dream. And I'll always love you for it. But I can't love you obsessively for much longer. This season is all I have left to give. My heart can take the pounding. My mind can handle the grind. But my body knows it's time to say goodbye. And that's okay. I'm ready to let you go. I want you to know now, so we both can savor every moment we have left together. The good and the bad. We have given each other all that we have. And we both know, no matter what I do next, I'll always be that kid with the rolled up socks, garbage can in the corner, 5 seconds on the clock, ball in my hands. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Love you always. Kobe.
I love that line. No matter what I do next, I'll always be that six-year-old boy with the rolled-up tube socks, garbage bag in the corner, 5 seconds left on the clock, ball in my hands. Dino?
Yeah, we can all relate to that sort of childhood image and going through that. It was wonderful. I think statute of limitations is okay now, Haim. I actually audio recorded your interview with him the night we were there and played it back yesterday and had a little listen. And I think he said he took about 13 minutes to write that. That was quite remarkable.
He spoke about it on stage, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, incredible. I think the respect for the game that gave him so much, I thought, was outstanding. I mean, we know he's a 5-time NBA champ and he's won a couple of gold medals at the Olympics, but you could tell that he just loved the sport. What came with it was a bonus.
And he kept on reinventing himself in a way that basketball was his life, and then he won an Oscar. And he was a successful business person as well. So, and he obviously left a legacy that he'll be remembered for forever, Kobe Bryant, and he left us far too soon.
Well, you know, people often say, who's the most interesting person you've interviewed? And I always put Kobe's name up there because he was interested. Walked into a room of his at Crown, and he knew exactly who I was before he'd walked in, which I found staggering. So he'd obviously looked at a profile shot, or his agent had said, he said, you know, you've got three kids, I've got three kids, because at that stage he had one on the way, and he knew my wife's name. And it's like, that is why he was, what he did, you know, why he was so good.
All right, then my next clip has nothing really to do with sport, but it's been one of the most famous speeches played by a lot of people around the world for a long time. We go back to April 23, 1910. The former American president, Theodore Roosevelt, gave this speech, and it was called The Man in the Arena.
The poorest way to face life is to face it with a sneer. There are many men who feel a kind of twisted pride and cynicism. There are many who confine themselves to criticism of the way others do what they themselves dare not even attempt. There is no more unhealthy being, no man less worthy of respect, than he who either really holds or feigns to hold an attitude of sneering disbelief toward all that is great and lofty, whether in achievement or in that noble effort which, even if it fails, comes to second achievement. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat.
So that is a speech that champions of the game of basketball, like LeBron James, writes down every day, the man in the arena, to inspire him, to keep him focused. And if you want to be vulnerable, I guess, Dino and Hamish, that you listen to that particular speech, because that is all about being teaching you to be vulnerable.
it's so relevant in 2021. I mean, there's so much outside noise. You speak to the players, they go on social, and it's just an acidic, toxic environment. It's the mucus trail so often for them after a poor performance. But so relevant. I mean, you said 1910, I think. It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbled or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. I mean, it's, you know, if you're competing and you're having a crack, that's all that matters. And it's, you know, what is it, 111 years on, and it's still so true.
It is, and I'm showing my ignorance here. I'd never heard that piece, and it's magnificent. And I just, cutting through it, it's basically a lot of it about Australian tall poppy syndrome too, in part. And I just feel that, as you said, the relevance today, you know, the people out there doing it get crushed by those that want to throw from the sidelines, but they're out there doing it and having a go.
A player that played last night writes inside his boots every time he plays. The man in the arena and in his locker, he has that speech. Mm-hmm. And just to remind himself that, you know, go and have a crack. If it doesn't work out, that's okay. But you're performing, you're having a crack, your face is marred with dust and sweat and blood. Go and strive valiantly. And if you come up short, go again.
Yep. Yeah, you're a success if you're having a crack, basically.
That's it.
Dino?
Well, I love AFL orators.
Yes.
Outside of the movie orators that we've had, you know, from Any Given Sunday, Miracle on Ice, we've given a fair run. We haven't, probably only Coach Bombay off the Mighty Ducks is the only one we haven't given a run to. But
Harry
I think that, yes, well, that's right. I think that the AFL orators are magnificent, and I think we've got a compilation of them, Gareth.
Yep. Now, this is the Johnny Kennedy. I might save that other one for grand final week, Dino.
Yeah, save that. Yep. Good idea. But this is my favourite anyway. So this is, and this was in the moment.
At least do something. Do. Don't think. Nick. Don't hope. Do. At least you can come up and say, I did this, or I shivered it, or I played on. At least I did something. At least do something. Do. Don't think, Nick, don't hope, do. At least you can come up and say, I did this, or I shivered it, or I played on. At least I did something. Do something. Do. Don't think, Nick, don't hope, do. At least you can come up and say, I did this.
Just do something, Dino.
Yes, just do something. That's right, and have a go. That's all it's about, and try and make a difference. And you know, that's the bare bones of what anything about life, but anything about sport. Just get in, and have a crack.
Dino, if you played at the Hawks in the period of John Yabby Puck, I mean, you would have been inspired just to pour a good cup of tea.
Yeah, maybe that's why Lee Matthews is the greatest of all time. He had a bit of all of them.
Oh, what a period to be at Glenferrie Oval. Extraordinary.
Yeah.
All right, then, Hamish, take it away for our final clip this morning.
Well, this was given to me. I sort of hit some hurdles at one point in my life, and a bloke came, put his arm around me, said, come to the car. I keep this in the glove box for moments like this. It's called If. It's was written by Rudyard Kipling, and I just think it's an outstanding piece. It's not necessarily to do with sport. It's just around getting hold of life and taking it for what it's worth. And it's read by a bloke that reads pretty well, and Sir Michael Caine.
If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowances for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating. And yet, don't look too good, nor look too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, if you can hear the truth you've spoken twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life for broken, and and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss, and lose and start again at the beginning, and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are done, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but not too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 40 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And which is more, you'll be a man, my son.
It always meant a lot to me, Dino, if, and I'll go to it a lot, I'll read it to the kids, but there's a couple of lines in there that I think are just so pertinent to all of us. I mean, if you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster,
that's the one,
and treat those two imposters just the same.
Yep, that's the line for me out of all of it. It's a beautiful piece, but that's the line about the two imposters and meeting them the same.
Don't make dreams your master. What does he mean by that, Hamish?
Well, you can dream, but don't let the search destroy your life. Be able to live in the present and be able to enjoy today rather than always dreaming and wanting more, I think is how I read it, Dino.
Yep, absolutely. As you said, the right man in Sir Michael Caine to have it read.
Exactly what I needed to kick off my Friday, listening to good people with some good words. Now,
the question, Gareth. Can I give it? Hillsville, I've got a question.
No, we've got a couple of minutes, 5 minutes. Yes.
Birragara Phil asks, what happened to Sosi Bond last run, Dino? And is there a chance he can go on and win the Stradbroke? Please. You know I'm an addict. I love the horse. I'm going to fall in. Is it a stupid thing? Hang on, the text is gone. Is it a stupid thing? Or does it? Am I some hope?
He's some hope. He was too close to the speed last start. I think. Running quietly in a handicap, he could run well, but Birragara Phil's fascination with rarely winning horses probably translates to the horses that he races too.
Do you think Hamish.
So, no, Birragara Phil's not known to many other than by Birragara Phil. He's bred a lot of horses. They're all unbelievably slow. He's bought a lot of horses. They're all unbelievably slow. Then he falls in love with horses, which are largely unbelievably slow. And when he backs horses, Dino, that are...
challenged.
Yeah. Maybe if we could maybe get Lindsay Park to have their phone next to them and play Sir Michael Caine next to Sosi Bond before he heads out to the mounting yard at Eagle Farm.
I think that his fascination with Sosi Bond was such that the Lindsay Park operation actually thought he was a part owner at one stage.
Yes.
They sent him owner's reports. And then I think Ben Hayes one day went up to him in the mounting yard and said... how much of this horse do you own? He said, no, I got nothing. He said, I wondered that because we've never sent you a bill either. We just send you owner's report.
Yeah. What about your Friday fill-up, Dino?
Well, this will be a shock to those who have been listening all morning, Gareth. Spanish Schnitzel at Swan Hill, race 6, number 5. I think he can be winning. He's going very well and on his home track.
All right, then. So Spanish Schnitzel race. What was it? Race?
Race 6, number 5.
Yep, that's it. Race 6, number 5, Spanish Schnitzel. Hey, just quickly, halfway point of the year in the AFL, basically. Who should be favourite, Geelong or Melbourne?
Probably Geelong because they've got more of a, coming off a grand final last year. But I've written down 5 teams I'd like to see. Any of these 5 playing the grand final, I think I'd be happy, Hamish. It'd be Melbourne, Richmond, Geelong, Bulldogs, Brisbane. I think they all play pretty good footy.
If a side wins that isn't one of those 5, I'd be staggered. In terms of the two that, well, let's get it down to three perhaps, but Melbourne you can't throw out because every time they get thrown a challenge, they meet it. I know they lost to Adelaide by a point. Yeah. So every, you know, I thought they were going against Richmond, beat them. Thought they were going against the Dogs, beat them. Thought they were going against Brisbane last weekend, beat them.
Yeah.
Now they've got every player on the list playing their best football. So let's throw them in. And then I think it's a bit of a coin toss over Dogs, Cats, Lions, Tigers.
I know you love your Brownlow, Dino. Who would be leading the Brownlow at the halfway mark?
Well, it's an interesting one because I would say Petrarca, but Oliver's got to take a fair bit of, you know, voting power off him. Bontempelli's deserved to be favourite. I think Darcy Parrish is having a very good year.
Yes.
So, yeah, and then you've got two well in the bet, like Bontempelli and Jackson McRae are both well in the betting. Do they nullify each other? But, yeah, there's plenty of votes to go around and they're winning plenty of games. So, now, at this stage, I'd be Petrarca, but not much in it.
At the halfway mark, if Matty Hill was calling the Brownlow, you'd probably throw a handkerchief over them. They'd be tightly. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's not a breakaway yet.
No.
We're not in a Dane Swan year or one of those, or even last year, you know, Lachie Neale sort of thing.
All right, then. The Dean Hamish and Gareth Malty. A few people text in say you can't cop out Gareth by not putting your name to it, so I will. I'll go.
You did
with,
throw us under a bus there. Yeah. Dean and Hamish Malty hasn't got up yet. Two from 2 weeks, two strikeouts. But we did, Dino, after sort of throwing it around on air, we did get the high points up last Saturday night.
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
Covered it with great gusto.
We've got about 45 seconds before we say goodbye and go to Healesville.
Let's go to Healesville.
I'm going playlist Meadows, race 7, number 2, Anthony has a party. And then Major Manpower at Melton, the place, race 1, number 8, Dino.
Yeah, I'm just going to go a very safe place, race 1 at Sandown tomorrow, Ranveer. Won't be much of a into the multi, but I think it should run a place. Big chance of winning.
All right, then, Hamish.
I've got Papley to kick 2 goals tonight into the Swans to win, and I think it's $2?
$1.95.
Oh,
yep.
Give it a boost.
Love it, lads. Thanks for that today. Thoroughly enjoyed it.